But let me be the first to ask you a serious question. Why are you here? Why are you here at seminary? My guess is you might probably answer this, well, I'm here to learn about the Word of God. And a lot of you also might say, well, because I want to teach other people. Well, that's good. That's very good. It's a lofty goal. But let me ask you this. Why would you want to be a teacher? Do you really know what you're getting in for? I have a word from God for you. Don't think I've gone radical Pentecostal, but God has given me a word for you. It's in His Word. It's in James, 3rd chapter. God warns you, let not many of you become teachers. You have to seriously wrestle with that question. Let me read the text, which is the first 5 verses or so. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he is a perfect or complete man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide them, their whole bodies as well. Look at ships. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your challenge to us, your warning to us, help us to wrestle with you, to wrestle with this text, so that, Lord, we might have the assurance that we are yours and that we are doing your will. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. Whoever put that there. 3 things. First, you need to hear and heed this warning. Listen up. Don't let it just go over your ears. Secondly, heed this warning, but also learn how to pass the test of being a teacher. And finally, choose what will give you the grace of Jesus to pass that test. So let's look at this real quickly. First of all, hear and heed this warning. Brothers, see the seriousness that surrounds teaching. Often I think I'm disqualified because one of the major tenets is that a teacher has to be dignified, not anything less than dignified. But the chief shepherd has determined that seminary can be dangerous to your eternal welfare. People talk around here because of where we are about cage Calvinists. Young believers who become Calvinistic and what they really need is to be locked up for 5 years in a cage before they become human again and will not napalm people from 500 yards. Knowledge can puff up, right? But love builds up. The reason for this is real simple. You get a tougher judgment. This is not for salvation, but it's for your medals. It's for your service ribbons. You're going to have a stricter judgment in being a teacher. Just to remind you a few things, how about Isaiah? Would you like to be Isaiah? Not many people listen to him. No, that's not enough. How about Jeremiah? Jailed and hated as a traitor. Speaking for the living God, thrown in a pit, a literal pit. And finally, Ezekiel. Poor Ezekiel, constantly a sermon illustration his whole life. Some of the things God asked him to do, we would get flunked in homiletics for doing some of the stunts, cutting our hair and burning it and lying down on our side, laying siege to a little model of Jerusalem. We'd get flunked for sure. But God asked him to do that. And then the real kicker was, your wife's going to die. And they're going to ask you. You can't even cry over that because That's what's going to happen to Jerusalem. But listen to what he says. Chapter 3. Here's the commission. Here's what God says to you as a teacher. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. Brothers, you better tremble when you get up to teach or preach, because people's eternal destiny ride on what you say, and God will hold you. That's the warning. Why would you want to do that if you can do anything else and God hasn't called you to do that? That's the first thing. Second thing, learn how to heed the warning and pass this test. I go very quickly. I think there's a lot that's come right before our text in the book of James. Three or four things that you need to remember. The first thing is you need to be humble. Anyone lacks wisdom, ask from God. He'll give it and he won't chew you out for asking. You better ask for wisdom because you don't have it. In verses 19 and 20 of the first chapter, we are all to be what? And this is certainly not typical seminarians. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get upset. You've got to be humble because you have to be a good listener, and you can't be a good listener unless you're humble. So that's the first thing. The second thing that will help is this: be pure. Let's just be blunt. Some of you guys have to put away the pornography. You have to put away the sports page. You better start being serious, okay, about putting any filthiness that's left in your life in terms of the desires of the world. Those of you who still worship the Trinity in Pittsburgh, you know, the Steelers, the Pens, and the Pirates, repent. It's okay to watch sports, but don't worship them. And don't go to Heinz Cathedral and worship the idols of Pittsburgh. So you have to be humble. You have to be pure. Put away the filthiness. Verse 21, chapter 1. But you also, and this is tough for seminarians, you have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer or a learner or an exegete of the word. In other words, you got to obey. If I can quote an ancient little ditty, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You're here learning the word and getting ready to teach the word. You better do it. In other words, again, to take an old one, you have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You got to be the real deal. You have to be the doer of the word. And finally, you need to guard your mouth. Zip the lip and be careful, because when you teach unofficially or officially, you are representing God. And what comes out of your mouth needs to be plain and simple, the word of God. Tie your tongue. Tame the flame. Okay? So that's how you do this. Okay? Humble, be pure, be a doer, guard your mouth. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, here's the good news, bad news. You can't. You do not have the capacity of yourself to do this. And so you have to choose You have to choose what will give you the grace of Jesus Christ to do this. And just in a sense, to humble us all, but to point us, I think a layman in the Bible teaches us this real well. And his name is Mary. Go to Luke 10. Remember? I'm not going to preach that sermon again. I was going to preach it, but I realized I think I preached it here. I looked it up, and I did. 26th of March in 2015. Choose the better part. Here's Mary, okay? And I think the way Luke sets it up, you can go back and listen to that sermon or study it. Jesus has got his cross face on. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's going up to die, and he's there, and I think, you know, it sounds mystical, but I really believe Mary got it. She knows he's gone to the cross. Now, Martha, she's going ballistic. Tell her to get off her butt and get in the kitchen here and help me. Now, these are rich ladies who have servants. It's just, you know, I mean, this is the man who just fed 5,000 plus people. Food's not a problem for Jesus. And Martha's running her. Martha, Martha, you trouble yourself about many things, but why? Mary has chosen the better part that will not be taken away from her. And you know why that's significant? Go to John 12. 6 days before the Passover. What's that Mary doing? She's not sitting at his feet. She's kissing his feet. When you're at seminary, you need to learn not only about Jesus, you need to learn Jesus. You need to put on Jesus. That's what Paul says. Put off the old, put on the new. But the new is what? Jesus. You need to learn Jesus because only Jesus can enable you to pass this test. You can't do this on your own. Scipione's teaching method. Here's all the things I messed up, you know, in the first 40 years of my ministry. Avoid them and you'll be better off. Well, let me wrap this up. So I can beat the bell. Remember, in spite of all this warning, if God calls you to teach, you better teach. And just to comfort you, if God can use an unconverted high priest to prophesy about the death of Jesus, Caiaphas, and if he can use a jackass to rebuke Balaam, he can use you. But your pride or lack of purity will hinder that. Yes, you have a stricter judgment. Yes, a stricter judgment. But I would call you, join Isaiah, join Jeremiah, join Ezekiel, and get ready for the providential pounding that you're going to get for being God's servant. In fact, join James, Peter, and John, but above all, join Jesus, the one faithful witness, the one faith. He's called that by Paul and Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. And he's called that in the book of Revelation, the faithful and true witness. So by his grace, you can do this. You'll get pounded. Just think of Paul, beat up by the Jews, beat up by the Gentiles, beaten with rods. Man, you and I haven't even begun to join the Richter scale of suffering. You know, and then, of course, Christ bearing the penalty of his people. Remember, if God calls you, you got to preach and teach. But if he calls you, he'll give you the grace. You're saved by grace, brothers and sisters. You can teach by grace. That same grace that gets you to the cross will get you to the crown. But if you don't bear the cross, you can't wear the crown. Is it worth it? Sure enough is. What does Peter say in chapter 5 of 1 Peter? So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. as God would have you, not for shameful gain. The church will probably take care of that. You won't get paid all that well. But not for the gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You want that crown? He'll give you that crown by his grace. And then you can join the 24 elders, taking that and casting it down before him who sits on the throne, before the Lamb that was slain. For from him, as we were reminded yesterday, from him, through him, and to him are all things. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will help us to pick up our cross and follow you. Lord, help us to be sober-minded as we pick up the office of teaching. And even if we're not officially ordained in whatever teaching we do, that we need to follow Christ. We can't do this, Lord, apart from your grace. But by your grace, we not only can, we shall do this. Lord, as we know that there are brothers in China suffering, Lord, we know that soon it may come here. We may have to suffer and even die here in the States for the gospel. But Lord God, help us to love you and to heed your call. And as the church confirms our calls, to go into the battle and win for you. In Christ's name, amen.